Anybody here love the Word of God? Man, I love the Word of God. If you're doing life without it, you're not truly doing life at all. If you're doing life without His Word, you're really not doing life at all. If you want to live life to the fullest, you live that according to His Word. Today we're going to continue in a message series that we've entitled Community Builders. And community building is one of the things that we value here at Thompson Station Church and in this Columbia area. You've seen a lot of that. We're continuing to interact with the community. We're blessed to be able to encourage people in this community. And through that, God is opening doors for us to be able to share the gospel. The cross has the final word. Amen? Why do we do what we do? Why are we here? Are we just some community gathering? In the words of Paul, by no means. No, we are followers of Christ. We have good news. We are messengers of good news, and we get to share that good news everywhere we go. And that's a blessing. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this thing of community. I'm going to bring you up to speed if maybe you hadn't been here for the last couple of weeks. First, we're going to start by defining what exactly is this thing of community. For those of you that would like to take notes, we'll have plenty of notes for you on the slides. We're going to be going to Nehemiah. We're going to look specifically in chapter 4 today. So if you want to turn to your Bibles there, either analog or digital, if you want to go ahead and turn in your Bibles, we'll go ahead and get to that, and we'll get to it here in a minute, okay? So this thing of community, it has to do with this, is when you come together in unity around something that you have in common. Common unity. You come together around something that you have in common, whether it's a belief system, maybe it's a need or a cause that you come and you join for, maybe it's you're just living in the same area or same region, but some way you have something in common, some common interest. And we talked about how the beginning of building, being a community builder, the beginning of that, what we had to do is open our ears. We had to actually say, how are you, and stop and listen. Not the flippant, casual, how are you, carry on, but the stop and say, okay, I really want to know how you're doing. How are you today? Recently, y'all are going to get on to me for this, but recently, literally the day after I preached that message and talked about asking the question, how are you, I did one of my live videos at one of the local places. I did it at the CrossFit place, and I noticed when I went back and watched it, I walked in to the, I'm telling you, you're going to see this. I walked in and I said, how are you, to these two ladies? And I was trying to do an interview. So I said, how are you, to these two ladies? And they began to respond, and I kept walking and I talked to the other. It's like, I thought for sure somebody would call me out in that. But I looked at it and went, see, I got to learn too, right? We all have to learn to just stop what we're doing and be real and say, okay, what is it? And then we have to have a heart for whatever the need is. Ask God to give us guidance and then start where you're at. What you need to know is you need to know your place. You need to know your position. You need to know your circle of influence. The place is the location. The position is the authority that I have to do anything about this. And then that circle of influence is the people around who can help be a part of moving towards building in that person's life or in the community that you're in. Community builder, listen, we'll focus on unity. If you don't hear anything else, focus on unity, but not unity on just anything, because you can be unified on things that tear down just as much as you can be unified on things that build up. Amen? They'll be in unity around the interests that build others up. And we were reading in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17, and it said this, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer. And there's this word derision. Derision. What does this word mean? It means contemptuous. Now listen to this. This is awful. Contemptuous, ridicule, or mockery. Contempt, ridicule, and mockery. Do we really want that? Do we want this community that we live in? Do we want Columbia, Tennessee, Spring Hill, the Murray County region? Do we want them to look at the church and mock what we're doing? I'm talking to you. This is where we talk back and forth. Do we want that? No, we don't want that. We want them to see unity. Unity creates community. And let's be unified around building, around building. So that brings us to where we're at today, and that is we're going to start on the section of the wall that we've been called to. And let me everybody look at me real quick. If you'll go back to chapter 3 and read that they broke down in sections, you'll see that families built, many of them, right outside their own house, or they built the portion of the wall maybe that their house was in. You got to start at home. Hello? We really do have to start building at home. Don't you think that it would be a mockery if we were to go out in the community and build out there, but not be willing to build in our own home? By the way, I want y'all to know, last week I did the test on how many extroverts and introverts were in the room. The introverts outnumber this congregation like majorly in the second service. I now know why you're the most talkative service. I love that. Because I'm an extrovert, we got to talk back and forth, you know. And I go to the next one, 3/4 of the people that are in that congregation raised their hand and said that they were introverts. And it was hard for them to raise their hands because they're introverts. Nehemiah chapter 4, let's read this together. We're going to do these first 3 verses, and we're going to talk about this. This is the topic: when opposition comes. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When you're building, get ready, opposition is going to come. The enemy doesn't want you to build. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Now when Sanballat heard that we were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. He said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that?" Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, now listen to this, that this is the mockery, right? "Yes, what are they building? If a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." They are talking smack, right? I mean, this is smack talk. Straight. How many of y'all play ball? Anybody? Yeah. Do you talk smack on the court? Do you talk smack on the field? Come on, be honest with me. Any smack talkers in the house? I have found that people who play ball, listen, they play ball. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They play ball and they're introverts. You get them on the court, they become extroverts. Wes Willett, come on. Smack talk, right, baby? That's what, this is just smack talk. And this isn't a friendly rivalry like Central High School versus Spring Hill. Right? It's not what we're talking about. Which, guys, I struggle with that game. You know why I struggle with that game? Because I'm alumni, Central, class of 92. No shouting. Okay, nobody else want to say that. All right? Class of 92, baby. Right? All right? I graduated with her daughter. Right? So, class of 92. I mean, I was struggling with that. And then Spring Hill, I mean, some of my guys are on Spring Hill's team. Yeah, we have a lot of Spring Hill people in the house, right? And so I was struggling. So I went and I got a Central High School t-shirt and went and sat on Spring Hill's side. Come on. Right? Hey, don't you judge me. Don't you judge me. I enjoyed the game. We had a good time. But listen, this type of opposition is not that friendly rivalry. You know what I think? I think that game actually brought us together as a community. It was hard because there was a lot of rumors and stuff before the game ever started. But I want you to know, I prayed more for that football game than I've prayed for any other football game that's ever been played in Murray County. So something, God's in that. Then I watched as leaders come together from 2 different cities. I watched as, I mean, that's community building. It's around a game. But this is not a game. And how many of you know, I'm going to repeat that statement right here, that you cannot believe the lies. The enemy's going to begin to speak lies. And I know y'all are probably looking at me saying, Pastor Eric, you bring this up a lot in a lot of your messages. Yeah, because it's one of the greatest strategies of the enemy. And if I have to repeat it every single week, hopefully we'll grasp a hold of this and realize that the enemy's a liar. He's the father of lies. The language that he speaks is lies. He births, conceives lies. Why? Because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. I'm the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. And he said, and I came that you'd have life and that you'd have it more abundantly. And the enemy lies to us, and he spits those whispers in our heads and in our hearts, and he starts to jack up our emotions, and we begin to believe those things when what we really need to do is just keep building. He does everything he can to just keep us from doing what we know that we need to do. It could be a lie like, you don't have to work on your marriage. Just leave him, leave her. God just wants you to be happy. I don't know what the lie is that the enemy's been. Maybe it's you'll always have debt, so that's just how the world is today. Or I have to have that jelly donut because the hot button's on. Come on, talk to me, people. I mean, we all deal with different things, and our flesh has desires and cries out for these things, and we need to know what it is, that what are the lies that the enemy is spitting at you? Could it be for a pastor that church and its pastor are just seeking attention, that's why they're growing? Are we going to believe the lies? Because, you know, it's like, why is it that when a church starts to grow that people automatically assume that it's because they're not doing it biblically? Right? What? Have y'all noticed that? Is it jealousy? Is it envy? I don't know, but what I can tell you is I don't care anymore. Because the enemy is a liar, and we're called to help grow the kingdom of God one person at a time. God knows the truth. We only answer, listen, to him. We don't answer to all the whispers. We don't answer to all the people trying to jack up reputation or whatever. I've said this before. Character is how God sees us. Reputation's how man sees us. You work on character. Let God handle your reputation. Come get your glory, Lord. A church that focuses on glorifying him and exalting Jesus, listen to me, will grow. So don't believe the lies. We don't have to believe the lies. The next thing is don't battle without God. Let's look at this. Now, I want you to see this transition that goes from all the things that they're saying, and it doesn't say, and then Nehemiah got down on his knees and spent time. No, he immediately goes literally from one sentence to the next to, hear, O God, for we are despised. Right in the midst of it, he spits out a prayer. Hear, O God, our God, for we are despised. Turn back their taunt on their own heads and give them up to be plundered in a land where they are captives. Do not cover their guilt. Let not their sin be blotted out from your sight, for they have provoked you to anger in the presence of who? The ones who are building. Listen, don't forget this. Don't forget this. Don't forget who has the real power. Don't forget who the true provider is. Don't forget who the true protector is. He is Jehovah. Let him take care of the power. Let him take care of the provision. Let him take care of your protection. But even in the midst of the battle, when the lies come, cry out to the God who hears your prayers and begin to speak truth over those lies. How do you combat a lie? With truth. You just cut it down with truth. What? You just cut it down with truth. That's how you get rid of lies, is with the truth. And you need to know this. Your battle, my battle, our battle is not against flesh and blood. And this is something, if you will learn this, it will change the way you see every single fight that you have. Every time somebody wants to argue with you, every time somebody wants to attack your character, every time somebody wants to talk down to you, every time somebody wants more attention, every time, listen, if you will focus on where the real battle is, then you'll overcome. And your battle's not against flesh and blood. When you are building, the enemy's doing everything he can to tear you down. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. It actually goes verse 12 all the way down through 17, but I want to read a couple of verses. For we do not wrestle, or we do not battle, we do not war against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. There's a battle going on in the spiritual that's manifesting itself in the physical. I'm going to tell you, look at me. I have seen this happen with phone calls as a pastor. Somebody will call me and they'll be berating whatever's going on. They'll just start, and then I am learning. I'm not saying I'm great at this because I want to just tell them to shut their mouths. My flesh says, I want to fight. But I'm learning to go, okay, God, who's the real enemy here? What's the real battle? How would you have me pray into this situation? Scripture says, if you're lacking wisdom, ask for it. He'll give it to you. So give me some wisdom on how to confront this issue, because it's not this person that's my enemy. See, that's what we think. We think it's the person, right? I mean, be honest, right? You just want to smack. You just want to. Can I be vulnerable for a second? You just want to punch some people in the throat. Right? I expected a major amen at that point, but I know y'all are just being all spiritual and stuff on me. But sometimes you just want to lash back. Remember, we are His. Because we're His, we see things differently. We're looking through a different lens. Our perspective's completely different. Our battle's not against that human being. And we just need to cry out to Him. We also need to keep on building. But I want to state this real quick. When you learn about this whole thing of the battle, where it's really at, when somebody attacks me, when someone misguides or attacks, you ready for this? My family. Come on. Anybody get a little, does the hair start to raise up on the back of your neck? Somebody starts messing with your children? Right, be honest. That's good. When someone comes after your ministry, I've learned now to just ask God to handle it in a spiritual manner. I had a situation like this when I was in Hampshire. There was this family that was doing nothing but raising, it's a southern word, it was a ruckus. Y'all know that word? Yeah. It was just a ruckus. I don't even know what it means, but it just sounds like a fight, right? So they were causing all kinds of trouble, drama. Oh my word, drama. I get so sick of drama. Yeah, but just drama after drama after drama. And I remember I was walking around the sanctuary and I was praying to God. I was crying out to God. I was saying, oh, Lord, what should I do? How would you have me deal with this? This is obviously a spiritual battle. And I got this image in my head, this vision in my head of me standing and looking at this dad of this family. This is no joke. This is happening in the middle of the week, right? Seeing the dad standing before me, and the Lord gave me a specific question to ask him. I'm like, okay. And right at that moment, a key turned in the door, which the doors that we had were solid. Turned in the door, and in walks that dad. And the Lord said, now ask him. What? I'm like, did that just happen? But then I was also kind of like, man, now I got to ask him. And I want you to know, I went in there, he moved into the church's kitchen, and he was dropping off some food, and I walked in, and I looked at him, and I asked him the question. I want you to know, immediately, the battle that had ensued was over, because the way he answered squashed any argument that he could possibly bring, and it was over. And you know what I felt? I felt a spiritual battle won, and it that it broke. It was a deliverance moment, and it literally broke. And that's the kind of battles that we're looking at. We just got to cry out to God immediately in the midst of it and say, okay, Lord, how would you have me address this situation right now? And then we need to keep on building. Because if you look at verse 6, he says, so we built the wall. I love that, because it's like, he goes, I cried out to God, and then we just built the wall. So take that, enemy. So we built the wall, and get this, and all the wall was joined together to half its height. I love this. Why? Because the people had a mind to work. They had their minds focused on the work and nothing else. Not believing the lies, not listening to the junk, but they were focused on doing the work. Here's what we got to do. We got to keep our open line of communication with God. You got to keep on building and keep your mind on the work. I was given this poem in the midst of some tough times when I was struggling to focus. I have insecurities, one or two. Anybody else in the room have issues with your insecurities? Okay. The rest of you, straight line. Everybody has some kind of insecurity. All of us have some kind of insecurity. You may not know yours yet, but we all have these insecurities that we deal with. And one of mine is that I just want people to be happy with me. Why can't they just be happy with me? I just want to build and have happy people holding hands. Why can't we do this? That's the inner child. I'm sorry. Did you hear that come out? That was, never mind. So somebody gave me this, and the author is unknown, but it worked. People are sometimes unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. By the way, this is not a country song. It's all right. If you do good, people may accuse you of selfish motives. Do good anyway. If you're successful, you may win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and transparency make you vulnerable. Be honest and transparent anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. Young adults may not want you to do Facebook Live. Do Facebook Live anyway. People who really... Oh, that wasn't in there, but I had to. I love you guys. I love you. Listen, people, bounce back. Come on. I need you to focus. People who really want help may attack you. If you help them anyway. Give the world the best you have. You may get hurt. Give the world your best anyway. Just build anyway. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter what opposition says. And it doesn't matter. Sometimes your friends, sometimes what you say to yourself. Focus on truth and build anyway. I took flack at times for going and spending a lot of time. I mean, Christy can tell you this, taking a lot of time out of the office to eat with kids. But some of the best relationships that I have is because I took that time. It was hard, and it was a lot of work, but I'm telling you, sometimes you just got to do it anyway. Not to mention the flack I get for Facebook Live. Did I mention that already? Seems to be working. Just got to do what God wants us to do. You know what it is. You know the area of your life where people are giving you a hard time about the building. Not the tearing down, about the building, about encouraging others. Invest in people. See, when you invest in people, that's the best kind of building, because Scripture says that we are living stones that are used for building. And then you'll note that they didn't just build. They built, but they built as people who were battle ready. They were ready for the war. If you go on, verse 14, it says, and I looked and arose, because they had more confrontations and more rumors and more drama. In verse 14 it says, "And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. Fight for your families.'" If you don't hear anything else, fight for your families. "When our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction, half held spears and shields, bows, coats of mail or armor." And it says, "And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens," now listen to this, "those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other." They built with one hand and were ready to fight with the other hand. So carry your weapon and your tool belt. And your weapon's the word. And sharpen that weapon every single day. First thing in the morning, get up and spend some time with God. Wield that sword so that you know when the battle comes how to use it. You have the word, you have prayer, you have the armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, feet shod with the gospel. What? The gospel, the good news, ready with the good news. Because you need to be ready at all times. I'm missing something. What am I missing? The shield. Well, yeah. The shield of faith. You got to have that shield of faith. Why? Because it extinguishes the darts, the fiery darts of the enemy. So you're probably asking, what's your point? Do you ask it that way? Like in your head, you go like, "Pastor Eric, what's your point?" Do y'all do that? Sometimes I do. I ask myself, what's the point? Right. The point is this. Opposition will come. It will. When it comes, don't believe the lies. Don't battle without God. Keep on building, but do it ready for battle. Do it ready for battle. And you're like, well, how do I build? I mean, what does that mean? What is that? It was interesting. I guess it was a couple weeks ago, I had somebody come up and ask me about the mentoring thing in the schools. And she was saying, so what could I do to help with that? And I said, well, right now we don't have a group that needs to be mentored or a child that needs mentoring, so could you come and read? And she looked at me and she said, can I read my own child's school? And I was like, well, yeah. I want it to be said, we're not trying to get everybody to come to Riverside. If you have kids at another school, go read with them. Spend some time with your children. Spend some time with the kids that your kids hang out with. Get to know the group of people that they quote-unquote call friends. You ready for this? Step onto their turf. Meet them on their ground. It changes everything. Go have lunch with them. And I will pray for you. I had lunch. When I was doing children's ministry, I would have lunch in one semester at 22 schools, 20-something schools. And each day that I did it, sometimes 2 to 3 times a week, each day that I did it, it was between 2 to 4 hours of lunch. Because some of them come in first grade, all in. Second grade, all in. I mean, they start eating at 10:45. I ate good, but I could not think when I left that place. But what a great investment when I'm walking through Kroger and one of those kids literally runs down the aisle, "Pastor Eric, Pastor Eric," and comes and gives you this huge hug. I got this letter I'm going to share with you in closing. "Dear Eric, I wanted to thank you and the wonderful church members of Thompson Station Church for all of their hard work at Maury County Public Schools. Your church has been so giving to Riverside Elementary, and it has been a wonderful partnership. Serve Sunday was another example. Here's a verse. For the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. Your church has clearly taken these words to heart, and they are improving the community. Does that sound like community builders to you? They are improving the community by their servant's heart. Get this. Sincerely, Kristen Parker, Murray County Board of Education Chair. To God be the glory. Amen. To God be the glory. If you're not building, I want to challenge you. Don't just be a part of the applause. Join the cause. I want to challenge you. Because we come in here every Sunday and we applaud all that God's doing. But if you haven't joined the cause, come on. Let's get plugged in. Because there's a community that needs builders. It's a community that really, really needs others to build. And I don't know about you, but I don't want them to look at any of the body of Christ and have derision, mockery. Do you? No. Unity creates community. Let's pray together.